Welcome to Happily Holistic. I'm Amy Lee Mercury, and I'm a medical intuitive with 20 years of experience. I've written 15 books on health and wellness. If you've had a medical intuitive session with me, you know that the thoughts and emotions within you, what has been passed down from your ancestors, and everything that surrounds you can impact your well-being. In this podcast, we touch on my favorite ways for you to improve your health and feel more joy. We dive deeply into everything health and wellness with a big dash of spirituality and a sprinkle of business. We spotlight the uplifting and the positive and share the secret ways top wellness authors and celebrities get inspired, stay healthy, and enjoy this beautiful life. I can't wait to get happily holistic with you today. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Happily Holistic. I am so excited to have my new but already very dear friend, Hannah Wallace, here today. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Amy. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy this aligned in its time chronos way.
Oh, I know. Hannah and I have been talking for the last hour because my next interview had an emergency cancellation, which worked out because we are like instant soul sister friends.
Yeah.
Which our mutual friend George Lizos told Hannah would happen, I believe.
Yeah, he's like get on.
Yeah. So I'm going to introduce you to Hannah. She's an amazing speaker, a priestess, a mentor, a disability model, and a writer. She's the host of the podcast Finding Grace, where she interviews people on their journey to finding grace. Hannah helps guide people to find grace in their lives, whatever space they're in, to help empower and shift them to make positive, healing, and sustainable changes in their lives, and to help them integrate their darkness into light. So welcome, Hannah. I love that. That bio and that finding grace, and you're such a graceful,
thank you.
Beautiful so soul.
To share as well.
Yes, I'm so excited. So Hannah and I have been talking about everything already, and we're like, we have to get on the air with you guys and start talking. So talk to us about first about what brought you to start your podcast and the, you know, the gifts that have come out of that already. Tell us all about it.
What led me to, so I, like you, like we were saying before we began, I don't know where it came from, but from about the age of like, I was always a bit different into like, just growing up, I was always into playing witches, but it felt like it was very much a part of me. Then I got into yoga, meditation, tantra around the age of like 12. This is so bizarre. Yeah. And aromatherapy was mixing up stuff for people. And then when I was 17, I overnight, what I didn't know at the time, I only found this out 10 years later, the what was down my mother line was this very rare genetic condition, which nobody knew about. And it basically is very normal for this particular thing to happen in teens. But it, I actually at the same time had, I became very unwell with what we call here glandular fever. I think in the States, they call it mononucleosis. So I became really ill, but it was extreme. It was like overnight bedbound for months, darkness. And I was 17 and it was like, what the hell's happened? Because I was this crazy, wild, very alive human that suddenly had everything taken from her, and all my friends were doing normal life, and I never recovered, basically. This is where the story goes. So for the first few years of that, I think I was in soul shock. I think because I'd experienced this was 20 years ago, which, as you would know, Amy, back then medicine, doctors, it was a very strange place to be in. So I embarked on you know, many different healing modalities. At the same time, I was interested in this spirituality aspect of me, so I was into that, but I always tried to not let that be the healing, I tried to know that who I was beyond that was this spiritual aspect. I tried to always separate the two so that it wasn't like they were interlinking. So I was working on this, but those first few years are very dark because I think my 17-year-old self was like, what the hell, you know, like.
Exactly. I mean, imagine being that age.
Yeah.
You lived it, but for all of us, imagine being that age and suddenly everything changes so drastically.
And I was lucky that I still had my friends were really supportive, and I was really lucky that, you know, my mum and I just embarked on this alternative journey. So for that next 10 years, eventually after about 3 years, I woke up one day and thought, okay, I've been kind of looking at all this alternative work. I now need to choose peace. If I'm gonna heal in whatever way you saw spirit, God wants this to go, because I had to let go of control at this point. Yeah. And I needed to trust, because everything I was doing, it would be like, nope, that's clearly not gonna work. So I moved into this surrender space and thought, the one thing I can control is my mind. And if I can work with my mind, whatever is happening on all these other levels, I can reground myself and I can begin to trust. So I started that journey, threading that journey back. And then, you know, began to choose life more, began to choose joy, because I think for so long I was so rigid on that healing path that I forgot to live. And I had to choose life again. And I almost had to take my hands off the wheel and say, okay, I need to have some fun. And, you know, it's interesting because we forget one of the best medicines in life is joy and happiness, and not always doing the serious. We need to, put the work in, choose to heal. But also actually what's going to, sometimes doing less gives us more.
Yes, it does.
And that was a big revelation for me, because I was of, how much can I do? The more I'm going to do, the more I'm going to get in terms of the healing. So 10 years on, by the time I had surrendered, a random conversation with somebody who's not into my world, not into my stuff, in fact, is skeptic, said to me, you know, I think you actually have this, not, you don't have the chronic fatigue stuff that you're talking about. I think you actually have this problem with your heart that you've been saying you've been having these things, and I feel you need to go and get it checked out. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be that crazy person that goes to the GP and is like, you know, my mate on Facebook.
Yes, exactly.
So I went, and I went with an open mind, and the doctor right away said, I think your friend's right. She Googled it, Amy.
Because she hadn't heard of it, or she didn't know.
She didn't really know. And she said, I'm going to refer you. And at this point, I felt enough that I thought, I'm going to trust this process, because obviously this is very medical, and this is
it not is very medical.
My usual approach. But I felt it was God-led. And I knew that I'd asked for the answers, Amy. And I thought, do you know what? It's that saying, you know, when we ask God or the angels for help, and then we're looking for, like, I want the miracle to flop down. It's like, no, actually, it comes in all these different forms. Like, the angels source will send us in terms of my friend Tim on Facebook, you know. So I listened, and very quickly it became apparent that I did have this condition. So they immediately sent me to a consultant, because at this point they were like, this is not about self-management, Hannah. You need to get this under control and your quality of life will improve.
Wow.
So I thought, you know, I started to panic, because I was like, I don't want a horrible doctor. I need somebody that can work with me, like that we can symbiotically be holistic. So I just kind of wrote a note to the universe, and I said, like, I'd really appreciate a nice doctor. And I got one. When I saw this guy, he took a look at the whole picture, and he listened. He listened intently. And I don't know, like, his energy, Amy, like, he's not into our world, but he's special. You know, when you meet someone, you know, you can feel it.
Yes.
And he said, I think they've made an even bigger mistake here. I actually think you've got this genetic. He said you do have what we found out, but he said, I believe you have this genetic condition. And he said, wow. I'm going to go with my instincts. I believe it's from your mother's side. I'm going to refer you.
Wow. And
I explained, I said, look, you know, I've been doing all this stuff. And he said, that's great. He said, we can talk about how we can fuse the West and the East together. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Good. Amazing.
I can work with this, you know.
Yes.
So very quickly, after 10 years of this longing, I had these answers.
Wow.
Understanding. So that took me back on this path of readjusting. Yeah. Okay, so I thought I have this. And so with this consultant, we've worked together. If I go to him and say, you know, I'm going to try this, I'm going to take what you're suggesting because I recognize what you're saying about if I control this, I'm giving my body the opportunity to heal in the other ways.
Yeah.
So we worked together. And the one thing I can say that he's right on, that when I listened to him, as well as him listening to me, I did get a better quality of life and things got more under control.
Good.
And what then led me, the confidence in me started to change. I think before I was very lost in the journey, and that led me to then know that I had this gnawing all the time. I was going to Hay House events and a few of the authors that I know were like, when are you going to write your book? And I was like, oh my God, I need to do this. But it was like there was this block.
Yeah.
And then eventually I took the leap. I went to a writer's workshop, and actually that led me to meet our mutual friend, Emma.
Yes.
Who sat behind me, and we didn't we didn't actually know each other even after that for a few months. And that was kind of what led me. But our mutual friend George and I knew each other for years because he worked for Hay House.
Yes, he did.
We used to see each other at events.
The events.
Mm-hmm. So we would be, and then obviously he's been on his journey, and we've you know, supported each other along the way. And then eventually I'm like you, I love using my voice. I know that I'm good at talking to people. So I was with Emma and I said, I want to do this podcast. And so she was like, come on, girl, show up.
Do it. Yeah.
And so I've been writing the book, doing the podcast and showing up. And it wasn't, I think there was this block that because I'd had this image of what I believed for so long, you know, the people I'd been reading, I almost felt like, am I too broken? It was like I had these limiting beliefs. So it was shifting. I shifted those beliefs and slowly but surely. But I do believe in divine timing. And I believe that journey that I went on, if I'd intercepted and began maybe sharing earlier, I wouldn't have collated that journey. And maybe it was what I believe now, it's happening at the perfect timing. And
yes,
I like to believe that. And I think as well, I stepped into my power. I don't think I was there before because I was still learning. I guess we're the student, right? And then we become the teacher, don't we? And it was like by the time I stepped into that role of being whatever you want to call it, a lot of people said to me, oh my God, it's like you've been doing this for a long time now. And I said, I guess I already was, but behind closed doors with people.
Yes.
And now I'm just now showing it on a public, more public place.
So I think so.
That's where I am. And I guess my gift and my journey was in the surrender. How I found grace was that's why I coined this term, because I feel my whole journey was me having to realize I didn't have to be or look like these other people. Grace was available. And I want to show people that this is available.
Yes.
Even if you're different.
Yes. Regardless of where you are in your life too.
Exactly. And I think that's important. And I think one of the gifts that I learned with all the healers and people that I saw over the years was learning that I feel it's like a puzzle and we put all those pieces together.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would get frustrated because I'd be like, I'm trying so hard at this. I'm visualizing it. Why isn't this working? It was often when I'd step back and I'd realize, okay, I got that gift from that. And now it's time to move to find the next piece. And yeah. I think we, as humans in our kind of human 3D brain, we look for, I need this solution. Like we say, the linear way, I need this to work in this way. And I guess I was met many times with those walls to have to learn that, you know, the true healing journey is within us, not outside of us. And it's not what, it's not just about that outside look, the image of what's going on. It's about the capacity within us that expands, not from that outside space. And that was my journey to finding grace.
That is a profound journey, and it's a path to find grace, probably a continual path, right? I mean, throughout our lives, we're going to be faced with that again and again.
And I think that's the thing as well, you know, and you would know this with your work through shamanism. I began to realize it's an ever expanding spiral. And that as we're moving through this spiral of through our journey, through our healing, layers show up in different ways. And, you know, how often do we think we've looked at something and then it comes up again, but we're at in a different place in our life in order to heal that next facet of it. And I think we as humans need to stop looking for these one-stop solution and realize we're on this ever unfolding path. And that's okay. That's part of the process. And that deepens our connection to the source. It deepens our connection to understanding who we truly are beyond these constraints that are built within our human body. And all of those things that we hold on so tightly to.
Definitely. And I think we culturally, we're kind of in a moment where everything is kind of geared towards a more instant gratification kind of thing. And I've always had a short attention span because of ADHD, but I feel like society has caught up to me. Like now everybody's like how I've been. I mean, I can have a long attention span if I'm interested in something, but so with this sort of short attention span and this instant gratification kind of conditioning, to slow down and be in the continuum of life, understanding that it's not linear, and it's not a series of things to check off, but instead something to immerse yourself in and embody and be present to, it's a lost art in some ways.
Massively. And I think as well that we need to realize we all work in different rhythms. I believe there are different places we embody in who we are. And when we learn to understand our rhythm, ourself, and we begin to connect that to our seasons, to where we're at, allows us to work with that. And you know, I guess it's like our mutual friend Emma is such a profoundly amazing high functioning being.
She really is,
but a lot of people wouldn't be able to keep up with that. So rather than thinking, oh my god, I'm failing because I'm not like that, it's nothing to do with that. It's to do with the fact that we are different beings. And when we learn to understand ourselves, and I think the greatest gift as we're unfolding and peeling back the layers, and to everybody listening, take it back to yourself. Who are you beneath the conditioning? Who are you beneath those stories? Who are you beneath those voices that have come from the outside? What is your own personal rhythm? And it comes back to that drum, doesn't it, Amy? Our own beat, our own sound. And when we understand that, and I think for me, when I realized I didn't have to be like my friends, they were still my friends, even if I couldn't keep up with them fully, even if we were very different, the more I could understand myself, the deeper it would inspire other people around me to understand themselves too, and understand that it was okay to be them. I think we have this deep idea, don't we, that there's something wrong with us for being ourselves. Mm-hmm. If we're different, if we're, if we struggle with something, we look at it as weakness rather than actually that struggle is our superpower, because it's giving us the feedback that that is something that we need to look at. So it's shifting our perspective to what's happening and realizing all we are simply getting is the feedback to pivot to where we need to. Yes.
I love that. I was, you know, I, from a childhood, from early on in childhood and definitely from middle childhood, starting in like first grade, I remember it really became apparent that I was different. I had a lot of learning disabilities along with ADHD, and the world was kind of a blur for a lot of years. Eventually I kind of, I think cognitively matured, but I remember that feeling of feeling different and feeling that that was bad for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, now people look at me, I'm 43 years old. Yes, I have written 15 books and I'm pretty successful now. But back when you were dealing with the onset of, you know, the genetic illness and everything that was happening at that age, you know, that those late teen, early 20 years, I was struggling through not being able to follow the path that my friends did, which was, you know, traditional college and achievement and all of the things that went with that. It really wasn't until I read a lot of books, because I do like to read. So I read a lot of books about the brain and ADHD and learning disabilities, and I learned to understand my own brain. And exactly what you said, to see those differences as a superpower. That's why I've been a medical intuitive for 20 years, because it also means I have these abilities more in the forefront. And I had, you know, amazing teachers, especially my medicine teacher, Lori. All of these things came together to end up helping me embrace these unique things that seemed like they were bad. Like, I used to think they were bad about me.
Yeah.
But actually, I was able to say, to embrace them over time and create this life. Mm-hmm. Did I always have the support of society, kind of? No, I didn't, you know. And I think that that's, it can be a challenging path to not take the traditional or conventional or expected route.
Massively.
When other people are. But now I'm very glad that I did. Personally, I mean, I've created a life that is a fit for me. And I think you're doing the same thing. And that's that acceptance of ourselves and valuing of ourselves. And, you know, I think it's also making conscious choices once we realize that we're going to live a life from consciousness, not from autopilot or society's programming and things like that. We're going to consciously create a life that fits with our wants, our needs, our desires. And is it the easiest path? Maybe not.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey there, it's Amy Lee Mercree. People have been asking what to expect when you book a medical intuitive session with me. Whether you have had a medical intuitive session before or are completely new to the idea, working with a medical intuitive may be right for you if you are looking to uncover the root cause of one or more mild to moderate health concerns. Working with me is not designed to take the place of seeing an integrative doctor or your chosen health practitioner. The way a session begins is you get to share your questions and concerns. After that, I say an opening invocation, which is adapted from something shared with me by my late medicine teacher about 25 years ago. It invites your highest vibrational spirit guides to participate in the session. These may be ancestors, angelic guides, or other benevolent non-physical beings. After the invocation, I let you know which guides want to talk with you and what they have to say. We address your questions and concerns and find resolutions and answers. If there are health issues, we find the root causes of the issues. To learn more about my medical intuitive work, check out the Work With Me page on amyleemercree.com.
But yeah. Now, I mean, where I've ended up, I'm like really happy I did it because, and I hope and I think that you are too, because you're creating a life that resonates for you.
Absolutely. And I think I realized that the sooner I stopped fighting against what was happening to me sometimes on a physical level and was like, okay, maybe I need to rest a bit more. Maybe I need to manage this a bit more. But in those spaces where I then do manage that well, and I do learn to what is working and what's not working, within those spaces, I can create something different. And that was when I really stepped. And I think that's what we all need to learn to do once we step out of like what you say, the conventional path. I mean, I remember, you know, 20 years ago, obviously embarking on those alternative things. I was doing things that, as you can imagine, I was telling my regular friends and people around me and my mom, and I was going to, you know, everything from strange journeyings to,
just trying to figure out what was happening.
And so I would, you know, but because I'd always assumed that odd role in people's eyes anyway, they're like, oh, Hannah's doing a thing, you know. But it was so, it's so fascinating to me how I've watched this change over the years, being on that journey and in process with that. Yeah. And now we obviously live in a world where, you know, this is so normal. And
this is catching up now, finally.
Yeah, we're talking about this on the internet and it's amazing. And, you know, I think, you know, for anyone listening who maybe is beginning, maybe they're, they're feeling like us, and it can happen to people at any stage of their life.
Age too.
Any age, any stage. And I think the one, you know, the one gift you need to give yourself is that compassion, the kindness, and the grace to know that the some of that time you're going to have to sit with yourself and sit in those darker spaces. Yes. And I'm sure, like what you said, you felt like this kind of person that could barely understand yourself. And unless you can sit in that dark and you can be like, okay, I'm here now, how can I illuminate this space? And I think, as we would know within the industry that we're in, like, you cannot bypass or just put a positive affirmation on something. Sometimes you have to go deeper. You have to recognize that those things will aid you. But what is going to help you is by going into that place. And the great thing is, when you go in, it's like a big scary thing sometimes, but you can go through.
Yeah.
And I think that for me was, you know, I'm really grateful that obviously I did have, you know, I was young enough at the time that I was so desperate that I was prepared to get straight in those dark spaces and go through. Like, I'm really glad that that desperation was almost there to help me realize that you know, I could trust those processes to go through them. And
absolutely,
you know, for anybody maybe who's listening who is in a dark space, there is light.
There is, and the light, I think, is self-compassion, self-love, self-acceptance, which can be hard when you feel like you're wrong or different or you don't fit in.
Or no one understands. So I think the hardest thing often when people go on these journeys, and some of it is the self-talk as well, because, you know, I was really lucky with the support that I had, but I think I felt so frustrated and angry with myself. There were aspects where I needed to forgive myself. And I think it was things, it was releasing the hold on those things that really helped move me forward, because sometimes I was creating those stories about what I thought other people were thinking, when no one was thinking that stuff. It was what was in my head, and me releasing those, deconstructing those stories, and realizing that, you know what, you're here, you're okay, and it's time to get safe. And, you know, like, as you said about getting in your body, one of the greatest things that I've learned along the way is getting in your body and remaining grounded whatever is going on. And I'm really grateful that very early on the journey that I went on, I was having this crystal facial. Just for releasing head pressure, lymph drainage, and she was combining all kinds of things. And, you know, we were just talking, and, you know, she could see the state I was in at the time. And she actually said to me, you know, she said, I'm sure you're going to go and try all the things. But she said, I want to tell you the most important thing you'll ever learn to do is to ground yourself.
Yes.
Stay grounded and remember the power of and what you can do with that and what you can clear through you with that.
Yes.
And I'm really grateful she kind of guided me with that. And I went away from that feeling I'd got more than a facial, because I was like, food for thought. So I think that really helped me along the way. You know, and I guess we're looking for great things on these journeys, but it is simplicity sometimes. Yeah. And that's where the medicine is, isn't it? You know, you would know this with where, you know, what you teach people. It's not always these big, profound things. The medicine is within all these tiny aspects, and it's collating and bringing that medicine together. And understand there's a season for some of that medicine, and that season may end sometimes, and some medicine will take over a long time. But understanding that is like being your best intuitive guide to where you need to be.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing, I think, when you come into that self-acceptance that eventually can lead to self-love, you also come into self-trust, where you understand that there are always going to be external sources trying to, even if they're benevolent and trying to help you, but you know what's best for you.
Yeah.
And when you tap into that, I think that that also is, it's a huge shift. As a medical intuitive, I see that with people. People come in with all different spectrum of everything you could think of. And sometimes it's, I listened to this external source, I listened to this external source. And it's about getting back to know, they already know in some cases what they need. And it may not be that it's going to yield the, you know, instant gratification miracle that society might condition them to want.
Yeah.
To come back into being present and then grounding, I agree, it's probably one of the top tools for good health for humans.
Massively. And I think also understanding that, you know, the trust, when you said that, I realized after years of doing all these, you know, things, I realized one day I woke up and I realized I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself. I don't trust my body. And I asked myself that question. I realized that I didn't feel safe in my body. And that is such an important thing for us. And I think what happens if our bodies aren't working in quote unquote the way that we are conditioned to expect them to, this actually makes us feel unsafe.
I think it does.
And so what I did, I thought, okay, body, you're doing your thing, but I can still choose to feel safe. I can learn to trust you, and I can learn that you sometimes are going to talk to me in a way that I might not quite like, but how about we learn to work together on this? And you know, like, that for me has been the greatest gift. And you know, like, the really crazy thing, when I had to start using a wheelchair, obviously psychologically I was like, oh my god, this is really, can I swear? This is really like, this is like, you know, this was like, oh, this is like too much. But then I also knew, Amy, that my quality of life was quite shit because there was I couldn't get around. And I, basically what I was doing, I would say go on holiday with my mum. And then she'd want to do something, and so I didn't want to stop her, so I'd be like, oh no, no, you go and do that, and I'll just sit here. So this was happening all the time, and it was only like an ex-boyfriend of mine who was quite harsh, and we were going away somewhere, and he was basically like, you're gonna have to fucking get over this. And he said, like, what's your problem here? He said, because I don't give a fuck, no one else gives a fuck. He said, right. I'm just looking at this whole situation here. You're the only person who seems to be bothered about it. And, you know, I sat there and I thought, you might be right.
You kind of got a point, although the delivery could have been nicer.
The delivery could have been nicer. But yeah. I think, I know, Amy, but you know, we say how God has to deliver. I don't think
if you might not have listened otherwise, right?
Yeah. And yeah. You know what? Like, I did that and we got this wheelchair.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was fine. And of course, people are going to look at you. And I cried because not because I was unhappy, because I couldn't believe how much of a good time I had and how I was able to start the world again. And I realized that for those interim few years where I'd been like forcing myself, like it was, you know, when I look at what I've been like punishing myself with,
yeah,
I realized, oh my gosh, this is liberating. Mm-hmm. And that changed my life forever, where suddenly I thought, okay, again, I'm going to work with this. And since I've done that, I mean, the miracle for me has been like being able to go away with my friends,
yeah,
go down the street with them. Just, you know, sometimes now, even when I still go out, I'm like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And yay. And just that mindset change was so powerful that I guess it was the deep conditioning that would be me giving in, whereas actually it was the opposite, in the sense that it empowered me to be able to get so much more, you know, go to events, go to
enjoy really life,
stupid things that, and so, you know, I'm really glad in a way his delivery, because when he said to me, like, you know, I don't have a problem, no one else has a problem, it seems like you're the one that has the problem here, it was like, I kind of do.
I think I might,
And it fascinates me what we do with our belief systems, isn't it? Like how, you know, whenever I've had to maybe take a medication that I've not wanted to because it's not been in alignment with my holistic approach, I you know, this was something that troubled me deeply.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I sat with it, I meditated, and I almost, you know, like my guide came through and was like, you know, Hannah, you have to look at all medicine as God's medicine. And he said, you change your perspective for this, you know, gateways will open here. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. And I thought, you know, I can bless this with love and I can do
this.
And that ultimately, combining the East and the West, was a really positive, you know, I was making it a negative experience initially because it wasn't what I believed in alignment with my belief systems.
Right.
And that bothered me because I was like, I am on this path, you know, and I must stick to that path. But yeah, that was a really empowering thing for me to do. And I there was a bit of my belief system that was like, oh my God, I failed now. And you know, I'm sure there could be someone listening here who's probably like, oh no, that's me right now. And if you sit with yourself, you know, everything's not always forever. There are always things that are going to shift and change, but sometimes there are things we might have to do that we believe aren't in alignment with us.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, beyond what your belief is, what's underneath that? Because sometimes you may be really right. Sometimes it might be like, no, that is 100% not for me. And I've been like that before. I've been like, no, I know that. But in some things, we have to open our heart and our mind and be like, okay, why is this being delivered to me in this way? And I guess that's our finding grace, isn't it?
That's what I was going to say. It comes back around to that surrender and going deeper into grace for you again and again, and for all of us for that matter.
Yeah.
And apply, you know, especially, gosh, this, we're in 2021, but it has been quite a year or so here.
Oh my God. Yeah. Deep surrender for people.
Deep surrender on every level, especially, I mean, you guys in the UK have had these lockdowns that are really, really, really strict. That's a deep surrender.
That's a deep surrender. And luckily for me, because of what happened to me all those years ago, I experienced a lockdown those years ago, I guess.
You did.
In a very dark way.
Yeah, you did.
So when this happened initially last year, you know, the crazy thing was, Amy, I had a flashback. This was like the first thing.
I was actually thinking that as we were talking a few minutes ago, how that might have echoed it. Yeah.
So it flashed back and I had two days where I was like, oh my God, this is really crazy. But then I was like, hang on a minute. You know, Hannah, the one thing you've got now is what you know, and you're not, you know, I was going through a death then, you know, as you
were. Yeah, you were.
Shamanic terms. I went through, when I went through that death, that was, you know, I'm like, universe, that was a big thing to do to a 17.
Yeah, that was like.
But I thought, do you know what? You're not in that place anymore, and you're equipped, and you're safe, and you're okay, and you have support, and this is going to be tough. And you know what? Like for me, I'm really fortunate that probably it's not been as a bad experience for me as it has been for a lot of people.
Because
obviously I'm used to more being at home anyway. I mean, the one thing, I'm a social person. So I was always having social plans, doing things, and that was difficult initially, but I was like, do you know what? Adapt. My friend and I, this is very, you know, I don't know if it's holistic or non-holistic, but my friend and I are really into Marvel.
Oh, that's cute. I love it.
So basically, every Saturday night and sometimes Wednesday, we decided to do the entire, all the phases.
Love.
Beginning to the end.
Love.
So we set up our computers and we have FaceTime, so we're in each other's lounge.
And watch it, like start it at the same time. Yeah. I'll do that with all the Star Wars movies. If any, if you are into that, I'm into, I'm a Star Wars person. So
it's so cool. Yeah. And, and we did this and, you know, like, it was like, actually, I think it's coming back to that thing about surrender and adaption. If you know, like I try and remind myself, if one way isn't working, there must be another way around this. And I guess it's us remembering that there's always a way. It may not be the way we want. And it may not be the way that we've created in our head or in on our vision board even. But if we surrender enough to trust that, you know, spirit will show us the way, and I believe we will be shown, we then have to sit and listen, and we have to open our mind up to trust that even if it's not quite what we want, maybe that's going to work. And
maybe it's better.
Maybe it's better. You know, like I always say when I'm doing manifestations or any kind of, you know, journaling, I always say towards the end, this or something better.
Because, me too.
Yeah, because we just don't know. And I think that was my, you know, that's been my learning. And you know, that can be tough when we really want something. I mean, you know, I think especially with that kind of thing, when we're like, I want this, I want it to look like this. But, you know, I think, you know, there's a small child in us. We don't always get what we want, do we, Amy? And that's...
I know. Wow. Tantrum.
So, you know, I guess we're all learning on that. And
we are.
We can open our mind continuously that if it's not working out, that's okay. You're not doing anything wrong, because I think very often we get on these paths, and if something doesn't work, we blame ourselves. And that comes down to our childhood programming. That comes down to what society tells us. If something doesn't work out, then maybe you're to blame. Or maybe, you know, if something doesn't work out, it's actually maybe that wasn't in alignment for you. It wasn't right for you. It wasn't on your path. And maybe you was, you know, something... bigger than you got in the way to stop you doing that. And I guess it's us continually leaning into that. And I like to say it's learning to dance to our own rhythm, the cosmic dance of life, the weave of life.
Yes. I can't wait to read your book, Hannah.
I can see it.
I can see it. Yeah, I can see it.
It's currently
it's coming.
It's the last bit of its weave.
It's coming.
And it's
can't wait.
Yeah. And I feel like I've, when you say about learning difficulties, I'm really dyslexic, so I'm really grateful that I've got I've got someone in place that's gonna go through and
de-dyslexize
that. Yeah. But I know that I need to get everything down. I've had as me, and then someone else can, you know, make it sound more human.
Oh yeah, totally doable. And when you get a editor at your publisher, they're probably gonna have a lot to say anyways.
Yeah, oh, I mean,
which is great because they make all of our books better.
No, and I do, and I do, and again, that's part of the surrender process, isn't it? That we have to become. It's like, it's that dance, right? Between okay, I want to hold this vision. This is what I want, but I'm also not going to be attached to it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the craziest thing, isn't it?
And to get things out into the world in a big way, we have to partner with corporations and the people who work for them. And that's an amazing privilege because we get to get our message out, but it doesn't, it leaves, I feel like the books, you know, they leave my incubator and then they get to be, you know, put into this process and other creators get to be a part of it. They design the covers, you know, I mean, I could never have designed this cover. I actually love this cover. When my publisher first sent me this cover, it was digital and I didn't like it because I didn't like the red because it looked more earth tone. But now in practice, this is a beautiful book.
Oh my God. And I love the colors.
It's a beautiful book.
You're very mer based. So for your mer energy, you would have been like, oh my God, this is like the forest.
Yeah. But it was like too red in the image. So I was like upset at first, but then it's like, look at all this pink. What can I be mad about? It's purple and pink. It's, I mean, I love it. So point being, we don't know the mood book. I could never have designed that cover. It's so pretty. We don't know, you know, when we put our creation into the world through the processes that are going to take it out. We don't exactly know the new ingredients that are going to be added. We have to surrender to that too and understand it becomes a collaborative process at that point.
It's a co-creative experience, isn't it?
It is. It's completely co-creative. And it's co-creative from day one anyway, because for me, all the various guides, including this guy here, Kanesha, who's on our table because we were looking at him earlier, all the guides and all the, you know, energy of life is flowing through us anyway. It's always been co-creative, but then it's like humans get in there too. Mm. And being in that flow is the easiest way to do it.
And also recognizing that, you know, like I know you with the work you do with your shamanism, you're basically that bridge between those worlds of getting people to reconnect. And I do truly believe that, you know, as humans, we have to recognize that bridge. Is the way, you know, we have to cross the bridge. That bridge is where we need to get to. You know, there's a Rumi quote that I love, and it says, beyond the space of right and wrong, there is a field and I will meet you there. And I believe that is such a profound quote, because it's stripping away those layers and saying, I will meet you beyond. And I will meet you in the beyond. And it is within the beyond those answers lie. It is beyond where our safety lies, our trust lies, and where God lies, and the universe or whatever you want to call it, and where all those guides and helpers are as well.
Yeah. That's a beautiful way to end our podcast. Hannah and I could talk for hours and hours on and off the air. So we went longer than usual because there's just so much for us to discuss, and we're going to need to have Hannah back on the podcast.
I mean, I feel like we've opened, you know, like I love this. I feel like we've walked through the portal.
Yes.
Like closed down.
for a bit. So before we do close, where can our listeners find you, Hannah? Instagram, etc.
So Instagram at the Hannah Wallace. My website is www.hannah-wallace.com. And through that website, you can get I've got over 50 blog posts on there. Ooh. There is podcasts. So there's almost a book, basically on my website now, yeah. I worked out there is more than a book on
that
blog post. So that's where you can find me. I mean, I do have my main place really is it's Instagram and obviously the podcast platform. Yeah. So yeah, reach out to me.
Yes.
Talk to me.
Listen to this podcast. I can't wait to. And you and our good friend Emma Mumford have a podcast too. Tell our listeners to look for that.
We have a very fabulous podcast called the Bullshat Eye Podcast. And this is breaking. This is the bridge. So we are like.
I'm excited to listen to this.
This is like not. We've kind of removed all the kind of. The polished edges to all this,
yes, the filters,
and we're just actually just sharing the humanized version of what happens in our human mind, how when, you know, sharing our true thoughts on things, yeah, and our journey, and it's do you know what, it's really good, it's that bridge and taking us out of these kind of places where we're, yeah, in saying okay, we're you know, we're gonna kind of deconstruct this, mm-hmm, and have these real, you know, like how something you really want to say but you're like, oh, I don't want to say that because people are going to judge me. Well, we're saying it.
I love it. I want to come on and do that with you guys. I'm inviting myself.
Yeah,
we just love think to it have would you. Be so fun
because we would love to have you, and thank you for having me on here, and I'm so happy that you're going to be coming on mine too.
Me too, yay. Me too. Lots more to come with Hannah Wallace and I on all of our various podcasts, etc.
Definitely. Thank you
so much, Hannah, for being here. It's been such a beautiful talk, and I hope everyone has enjoyed it too.
My pleasure.
Yes. Thank you all for listening to Happily Holistic. Go follow Hannah on Instagram and go read that blog. I'm heading over there very soon. Have a beautiful day.
Thanks for listening to Happily Holistic with me, Amy Lee Mercree. You can find out more about the show on amyleemercree.com on the podcast page. Please stop by your favorite social platform and leave me a comment. I'd love to hear how you liked today's show and what topics you'd like me to cover in the future. Come find me on Instagram and Facebook at amyleemercree.com. If you would like to see what a medical intuitive session with me is all about, hop on over to the Work With Me page on amyleemercree.com. Until next time, stay happily holistic.